Good morning. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to be able to speak to you today. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Joe Fry. I've been a member here at Crossbridge for nearly 10 years, but perhaps some of you still know me better as Becky's husband. Yes, my lovely wife, Becky, she runs the children's program that meets on the other side of that wall. That's where all the screams are coming from that you hear. They're having a good time over there. And in case you missed it, she closed out our parenting series last week, did a great job. If you have not listened to that, go online, download that message. It is definitely worth a listen. It was almost 2 months ago that my wife told me, we have a problem. As a husband of 14 years and a parent of four active children, I silently braced myself for what was coming next. She clarified, though, and said that there was a problem in the bathroom. It turned out that we had a loose shower tile. Now, not being the handiest guy out there, I did what I felt was reasonable. I turned to YouTube. I started looking at some videos about how to replace tiles. And when I got my courage up, I finally, rather easily, was able to pop off the tile. And this is what I saw. Not exactly what I was expecting from the videos. And so I popped off a few more tiles and grew more and more uncomfortable as the sheetrock beneath began to crumble and revealed the rotten wood that lay beneath. Even looking at these now, it's very unsettling. And you know, as I saw the size of the problem begin to grow and grow, I began to start seeing just dollar signs flash before my eyes. And I realized this is so not in our budget. And why is this happening now? And why did I increase the deductible on my homeowner's policy? You know, this was definitely not part of my plans. And I began to start having feelings of inadequacy when I knew that this was not going to be something that I was going to be able to fix on my own. I was feeling completely out of control of the situation. And I'm sure that some of you can relate to that feeling. It may not be with home repairs, but you know, maybe it's with your finances. Maybe you have some unchecked spending and mounting debt, or on the heels of our parenting series, despite your best efforts, you might feel that your family and your children are just out of your control. If you are a student, you might feel overwhelmed with your course load and feel that you're buried by a never-ending mountain of homework. Maybe it's your career that's not exactly where you planned it would be at this point in time. Perhaps you're trying to do what you think God wants you to do, but nothing seems to be working out right. For me, it was the bathroom. You know, the bathroom was a reminder of something bigger that I think God has been trying to teach me about for quite some time. It's about control. I am not in control of my life. Now, I would like to be. I've got some great things planned for this summer. I typically set a monthly budget, and I have certain financial goals. Usually every January, I make this list of different goals and projects and things that I want to accomplish in the new year. And I think all of these goals are good, but at what point does it become too much planning, too much control? As a follower of Jesus, I think it comes down to being flexible. If I get to the point where I'm seeking to control every little aspect of my life, am I also denying entry to God into those same areas? Was I being too rigid in my plans and my ideas and not being flexible to what God would want to teach me or what he would want to show me or where he was leading? This balance struck me when I recently read these verses from the New Testament book of James. This is James chapter 4, 13 and 15. It says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. When I read this, I realized that I am the you in the now listen, you who say. And you are also the you in this Bible verse. I am not in complete control of my life, and neither are you. This passage reminds me that we can make all the plans in the world. We can feel like we are in total control, but it can all vanish like a mist. Not very comforting. Or is it? Author Paul David Tripp, in his book New Morning Mercies, writes, "To think today, when your life doesn't work as planned, that it's out of control, is to forget that Jesus reigns for your sake and his glory." Let's begin this morning by shifting the focus off of ourselves and bringing it back to God. Each instance that we realize we are not in control is a chance to recognize the one who is. Let me repeat that for us. Each instance that we realize we are not in control is a chance to recognize the one who is. This is not a new struggle. This has been around since Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. So let's learn today about our challenge with control by taking a look at the story of Abraham. Now, in the pantheon of Old Testament patriarchs, Abraham, he's near the top of that list. Yeah, he's up there with Moses and David and Elijah. But there's something unique about Abraham. The Bible describes him as God's friend, and God is often described as the God of Abraham. We meet Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. At this point, he is still known as Abram. God does not officially change his name to Abraham until he's 99 years old. So please excuse me if I mix in a few Abrams with Abrahams this morning. We don't know much about Abram other than his father's name and his family tree. So I will begin reading from Genesis chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, feel free to follow along, or if you have your YouVersion Bible app, and we will also have the verses up on the screen for you. Starting in verse 1, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you.'" Abram is told to leave everything, his homeland, his people, his father, essentially everything that he knew in life. Now, if you have dealt with a large life change before or are in the midst of one now, you can understand the uncertainty that he must feel. The difference is, though, that this was not a planned relocation by Abram. He hadn't been weighing out his options and determining the right time to put his home on the market. This wasn't his plan. God has a plan for Abram. God is in control. God is providing the instructions. Well, sort of. God says, "Go to the land that I will show you." Pastor and author Francis Chan writes, "There are very few people in the scriptures who received their life plan from God in advance, or even their five-year plan for that matter. Consider Abraham, who was told to pack up his family and all his possessions and start walking. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know if he would ever be back. He didn't know any of the details that we consider vital. God said to go, and he went." Why? Why would Abram give up control of his life? Having experienced God speaking to him, he knew that following God was better than staying in the familiar, even if that meant giving up control. He had a chance to seek God and experience the blessing of knowing him more closely, and he took it. Continuing in verses 2 and 3, God is still speaking. "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Associated with seeking God's plan and yielding to his control is his blessing. These verses hold great promise from God. God is good. God's plan and God being in control is a good thing for us because he has our best interests at heart. In our recent series on the book of Ephesians, we read the prayer of the Apostle Paul, where he said how God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask for or imagine. I don't know if Abram had visions of becoming the father of a great nation, and I'm sure that being a blessing to all nations was a bit more than what Abram would have asked for. But God had far better things in mind. So what does Abram do? We read in verse 4, "So Abram left as the Lord had told him." Abram obeys. We see great trust in God's plan. He realizes that he is no longer in control of his future, and Abram acknowledges that God is in control and worthy of his trust. How about you? Is there somewhere that God has asked you to go? Something God wants you to do? Is there a way for you to serve him or trust him with something new? Taking a risk and giving up control of a certain area of our lives may allow God's blessing to flow into us more fully. 2 weekends ago, I had the privilege of going up to Lake Champion with the youth group. Now, for some of you, the idea of going away with a pack of teenagers for a weekend may be more frightening than Abram having to leave his homeland. And perhaps a few years ago, I may have agreed. But I think since that time, God has been working on my heart and softening me up to the idea of children's or youth ministry. Maybe it began volunteering at Vacation Bible School in the summer, and I'm sure it continued working with the third through fifth graders on Sunday morning. Through time in prayer and talking with others, it happened a Sunday morning. Jeremy approached me after the service and asked if I wanted to join the youth group on the retreat. And so I decided to say yes. I decided to respond to what I felt was, you know, the Holy Spirit's calling and, you know, how God was leading me. I gave up a weekend and trusted God that he had something planned for me that was not on my list. And it was an awesome weekend. And at this point, I want to stress that, you know, this little small step of faith, it may have produced a memorable weekend, but it's not always a smooth ride. If you have attempted to follow God for any period of time, you know that it's not always an easy road without any trouble. And we see the same hold true in the life of Abram. The next few chapters of the book of Genesis chronicle the difficulties he had with local kings, with wicked cities, with powerful men who had eyes for his wife. And though Abram trusted, he too made his fair share of mistakes along the way. The adversity and seeming lack of control ultimately led to fear in his life. Abram was not immune to the fears that we all can face when life seems to be a bit out of our hands. I stare at a gutted bathroom. You might see a medical test result or a tapped out bank account or a family tragedy. Thoughts might race to mind, God, I thought you were in control. We're not alone in feeling this way. If we jump ahead 10 years in Abram's life to Genesis chapter 15, we see him voice these same concerns to God. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Abram's fear revolved around the fact that he remained childless. Back in the days before retirement plans and Social Security, children were a measure of security. Children meant a legacy. And in this case, no children. Well, maybe that meant God wasn't able to deliver on the promise that he had made. The great thing is that God anticipates what Abram is feeling. Before Abram even speaks, God says, "Don't be afraid. God is in control. He knows how Abram feels, and he knows what is about to come out of his mouth." I appreciate Abram's honesty. Feeling out of control, he seeks out the one who is in control. Continuing in the passage, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir.' He took him outside and said, 'Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness." After God reiterates his promise, Abram believes. Despite his fear, despite his old age, Abram believes. How remarkable that is. New Testament writers, Paul and James, highlight this account, and they discuss Abraham's faith as a model for us to follow. Not a perfect faith, but a faith that trusts even when afraid. Is there a fear that you need to voice to God? Is there something holding you back from taking that first step of faith like Abram? We can ask God to help us overcome our fear and to believe. The great truth is God already knows what we're struggling with, even if we can't fully express it. In his great love for us, he can come alongside of us and lead us through the dark times that we are all bound to face. Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Abram believed in Genesis chapter 15, but by the next chapter, things take a dramatic turn. Fear and uncertainty may not have been the biggest obstacles that Abram faced. Abram himself is about to make things much worse. Reading from Genesis chapter 16. "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, 'The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her.' Abram agreed to what Sarai said." I think we can all agree that this is a little bit weird. There are some strange things in the Bible, but there is another reason why this part of the story should make some of us feel uncomfortable. Abram gets impatient with life, impatient with God, and he resorts to doing things his own way. And we do this too. Our desire to get control gets the best of us, and we attempt to do things on our own timetable. And unfortunately, when we take matters into our own hands, things sometimes spiral out of control. Hagar became pregnant, and the child she bears becomes a source of jealousy and resentment in Sarai. And this becomes her license to abuse and mistreat Hagar, and Abram just sits back and condones it. Envy, bitterness, and brokenness are just some of the fallout. There are also historical ramifications of these acts that we still feel today. Ishmael, the boy who was born to Hagar, is considered the father of all Arab and Muslim people groups. Genesis contains prophetic words that talk about the conflict that would be between the descendants of Ishmael and the Jews. I think that this is a dangerous part of our journey because we can begin with every intention of seeking God's plan, but we get impatient or discouraged or tired, and we allow our pride to think that we know better than God or that we can do things better. And we foolishly believe the non-biblical proverb of how God helps those who help themselves. Abram knows what it is like to have to wait for God's promise. 25 years pass in these few chapters of Genesis, and I can definitely feel sympathy to Abram's plight. In our society of instant gratification, waiting is often hard and frustrating. I want this problem fixed now, not 25 years from now. But God's work in us is a slow process. So when things are not progressing like we expect, and we feel out of control, that is our reminder to recognize the one who is in control. What matters are you tempted to take into your own hands by doing something that would be less than God's ideal for you? Is there any area that you have grown tired of waiting for God? Do you have a spouse or a child that you've been praying for, hoping that they would come to know Jesus or come back to him, but it still seems hopeless? Have you been praying for healing, but you're still in pain? Have you continued to seek God in prayer or seek the wise counsel of others? Or have you, like Abram, tried to speed up God's timing and replace his process for your own? Abram's story tells us that our spiritual journeys are a process. Today, you might be just trying to figure out what you believe. Acknowledging your need for God, or perhaps even that God exists, might be that first step of faith that you need to make. Or maybe you've been a Christian for many years, and you can look back and see how God has molded you through trials or periods of waiting. We cannot expect to be perfect Christians on day one or day 1001, but each day we can become more and more like Jesus as we give control of our lives to him and trust him with our today and our future. We also cannot expect to hold a tight grip on every little aspect of our lives. Becoming a follower of Jesus means that we trust God's plan. We honor his timing and we seek him. Even when that plan doesn't give us all the details or look the way that we think it should. I would like to close out this morning with a parable that Jesus told in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. The fact that should not be missed in this simple story is that both builders encountered storms in their lives. It is inevitable that we will all feel at some point that life is out of control. The difference in this parable is the foundation on which the builders built their lives. When God and his word are the foundation of our lives, we can withstand the storms that we face because we have a hope that is greater than ourselves and our circumstances. When we look to the one who is in control through daily time and prayer, through reading the Bible, through the wise counsel of others, through journaling or other spiritual disciplines, we realize that we no longer need to control it all ourselves. There is a source of peace and hope found outside of ourselves. The foundation of a relationship with Jesus is available to us all. Our lives can get messy. Families will struggle. Bathrooms will crumble and rot. In our own strength, in our own wisdom, we can't handle it all. But every time we feel out of control, it is a chance to seek God, who is never surprised, never overwhelmed, and always in control. My hope for Crossbridge is that we would be a community that seeks to follow God's plan, even through uncertainty and fear, that we would encourage one another to give God control over each area of our lives, that we would be an authentic community that's transparent in our relationships and struggles. I don't want our church to be a place where we put that happy face on Sunday morning and then go home and we feel that we have no hope the remainder of the week. If there is something in your life right now that's overwhelming you, please don't go through it alone. Let us support you. Talk to your small group leader. Talk to one of the elders. Reach out to Pastor Jimmy. Reach out to me. We would be happy to pray for you, talk with you, or just listen. You know, that way, that's the way Crossbridge can be a light in our community that points people to Jesus, that he would be glorified even in our messiness. Let's start by recognizing that we are not in control, but that we can know the one who is. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I know this was a hard message to deliver because I know it's something that you've been challenging me with. Lord, we admit that life is hard. We can't predict everything that will happen. We can't control it all. We need you. Lord, help us to face those fears, to realize that even through the uncertainty that you are with us and you can strengthen us. Lord, I pray that these truths would just cause us to look to you and would help us to rally together as a church that we can support and encourage one another. We just pray all this in Jesus' name.